Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 30. Philippians 2, 19 through 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him, then, in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can come before you in this morning, just to be in your presence and to hear from you and to worship you. And we give this time to you, Lord. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Philippians is a letter that Paul is writing to the Philippian church. It's a church that he started many years ago. And he's at a different place, most likely in a prison, either in Rome or in Ephesus. And he's writing this letter to the Philippian church. And if you look in the rest of chapter 2, Paul talks about kind of living this life of humility and living in unity with the rest of the church. And Timothy, in the rest of the passage, Paul gives the example of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus, how Jesus laid down his divine attributes so that he could come to be with man and became a servant. That's an example that Paul gives to the Christians in Philippi so that they can follow that model and live a life of humility and service to each other. And then he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus, and I think they also serve as a human example. So Jesus was this, you know, the example that we all must follow, the divine example, but also Timothy and Epaphroditus are human examples that Paul gives to the church. As people that are humble and that are servants of the church, serving other people. So that's kind of where it's at. And one commentator that I like to read, his name is N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright, he gives a story of when he first became a professor at this university. And he had to be part of the committee that was interviewing students and deciding whether or not they should be accepted into the school. And apparently this one kid came in, and he just, he wasn't very friendly. He wasn't very bright in terms of his personality. He wasn't very open, and he seemed a little down. It was hard to talk to him. He wasn't very talkative. But N.T. Wright says the committee could see that he was very clever, very smart. He had a lot of knowledge, but his personality just didn't seem right. But he turned to his reference letters. After the interview, he opened up the reference letters about this kid, and everybody from high school said that this kid was bright, and his personality was great, and he was open, and and friendly and just a lot of good things to say about this kid. So the N.T. Wright and his committee, even though at the interview what they saw was he wasn't very open and friendly and personable, they went by the reference letter and they accepted him. And of course, this kid comes into the university and he just excels in everything. You know, he studies really hard and makes a lot of friends and is a good influence to everybody. And later on, they found out that a day before the interview, you know, someone close to him in his family had passed away. So when he came for the interview, he was really kind of in a very difficult place. But he didn't want to mention that because he didn't want them to think that he was trying to, you know, gain like sympathy points by mentioning this tragedy. So just the importance of a reference letter. You know, sometimes, I'm sure, I don't know, if you've been in a place where you had to ask somebody for a reference letter. But in this passage, at least from 19 to about verse 24, when Paul talks about Timothy, it is almost like Paul is writing a reference letter for Timothy. Because he is sending Timothy to the Philippian church. And Paul wants the church to receive Timothy as if they were receiving Paul. So Paul's put his trust in Timothy and he's given this short little reference letter about Timothy. So my question to you, all right, before we go there, before I get to your question, let's look at what Paul says about Timothy. I mean, if you read through 19 through 24, Paul says, there is no one else like him. In verse 20, I have no one else of kindred spirit. The NIV version says, I have no one else like him. So first of all, Timothy just stands apart from everybody else. There is nobody else that is like Timothy. And why is he so special? The first thing he mentions is he shows genuine concern for your welfare. He is genuinely concerned for the welfare of the church. And verse 21, everybody else seeks after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. The implication of that, it means Timothy, even though everybody else seeks after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus, Timothy is different. He seeks after the interests of Jesus Christ. And he also talks about how he has served with Paul faithfully as a son, right? So those are some of the things that Paul lists in this reference letter of Timothy. And so then I want to get to my question to you. What's going to be written in your reference letter, right? If somebody were to give you a reference letter for another company that you're interviewing, another school that you're applying to, what is going to be written in your own reference letter? Is it going to be things like this, you know, that the person, whoever your boss was or whoever your professor was, they can confidently say, you know, I recommend this person confidently to the new place, to the new school, or in the way you're living your life, are there things that you're just, you know, slacking off on? You know you shouldn't be doing something, but you're not really obedient. That kind of thing. I want you to ask yourself, you know, I mean, we don't really need a proof text to know that the kind of work and the kind of life that God wants us to live, even in a secular workplace, he wants us to work hard and he wants us to live and work in a manner worthy of the gospel. You know, that's going to put Jesus, put the name of Jesus in a good place. You know, I think a good witness of us being in the workplace or being in the school is if we worked really hard and were model examples, you know, of a model employee, you know, doing everything that's required of us and doing it faithfully, not coming in late to work, not slacking off, not making excuses, but really doing the best that we can. And I think those are the things that is required of us if we are to work as if we are working for God, even in a secular workplace. And then think about what would be your reference letter from the Lord. You know, here Paul says in verse 22, he says, you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son, with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. So as a son with his father, and we know that as Christians, we are really children of God, and God is our father, and would he be able to say, man, this person, you know, as a son, as a daughter, has faithfully served with me in this, you know, in this work of the gospel. In whatever I've called this person to do, he has faithfully served me as a son, as a daughter. So I want us to think about that, you know. What would be on your reference letter if someone were to write you one? If God were to write you a letter? I want to go back to verse 20. Paul says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. So I want to kind of talk about that a little bit. Paul, when he is recommending Timothy, because in this letter he is recommending Timothy to the Philippian church, right? He's saying, Timothy is the man, and I'm going to send him to you, and I have full trust in him. But in his recommendation of Timothy, Paul doesn't talk about Timothy is a really good preacher. You know, Timothy has done this and this and this kind of project really well, and he showed his leadership ability, and he has accomplished this and that, and he has this kind of talent, that kind of talent. The one thing that Paul recommends Timothy on to the Philippian church is his genuine concern for their welfare. And Paul equates seeking after the interests of Christ Jesus. Because in verse 22, verse 21, he says, so many people, right, for they all seek after their own interests. So many people seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Implying that Timothy is one that seeks after the interests of Christ Jesus. But Paul equates that with having a genuine concern for the church, genuine concern for those that he is serving. We don't know too much about Timothy through the scriptures, but what we do know is that Timothy was, maybe he had a tendency to be timid, right? We know that Timothy was young because Paul will tell Timothy, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. And he tells Timothy, you know, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and sound judgment. And we can see Paul kind of encourage Timothy along and say, don't be timid. You've been given this gift to speak the word of God, so speak it, teach it to people, and don't be so worried about your age and your personality. But Paul is not concerned whether or not Timothy can, you know, lead well and be assertive and speak well even. He's really concerned with whether or not Timothy has the heart of a genuine concern for the people that he's serving. So I just want us to think about that in our ministry, you know, as house church leaders, as ministry leaders, even as a welcoming team member in our church, as a barista in our church. We can get so caught up in kind of trying to show that we are good at doing something. You know, we can get kind of caught up in trying to become like a good house church leader. We want to be, you know, good house church leaders, or we want to be a good barista team member, or we kind of get concerned with ourselves. But what really matters is whether or not you have a genuine, deep concern for the people that you're serving. Whether or not you have this heart of love and care for the people that you're serving. And I think it's encouraging that Paul's recommendation of Timothy is not based on his talents or gifts, but on his heart. You know, because I mean, I feel like sometimes I could lack in gifting, but I really do have a genuine concern for the youth group students or for the house church members or church members here. And it's encouraging that that's the thing that Paul looks at when he recommends Timothy. It's not his gifting. It's not his ability to do something. So, yeah, I think that's important for us to remember that the one thing that Paul vouches for Timothy is that he genuinely cares. I want to look at the second character. So first, Paul talks about Timothy, and then secondly, he talks about this man named Epaphroditus. He says, I'm going to also send you back Epaphroditus, And Epaphroditus, about Epaphroditus, he says this in verse 25. He is my brother, co-worker. Let me give you the NASB version. He is my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, also your messenger and minister to my need. So there's a lot of good things about Epaphroditus as well. He is, Paul considers him a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, a messenger, and a minister. And who was Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus was a man that was sent from the Philippian church because they heard that Paul was in prison. And back in those days, when somebody was in prison, it's not like they were given food and provision by the prison guards. They needed people and friends to come along and take care of him. And so the Philippian church heard about Paul that was in need, and they sent this man Epaphroditus to go to be the messenger from the church to give provision and to minister to the needs of Paul. So Epaphroditus, one of those people that came to Paul, and apparently through this story we hear that Epaphroditus fell ill, seriously ill, almost to the point of death, but God healed him and he recovered, and now Paul wants to send him back to the church. I want to look at another passage in Proverbs. Turn with me to Proverbs 25, verse 13. Proverbs 25:13. I'm going to read from the NIV version. I think it's a little easier to understand. It says this: like a snow-cooled drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. Like a snow-cooled drink, it's like an ice-cooled drink. Like an ice drink at harvest time is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sends him. He refreshes the spirit of his master. I mean, you can imagine harvest time. Everyone's out on the field working hard, and all they want is a cold glass of water or juice or whatever, and that's going to be a refreshment to the person working on the harvest field. And Solomon, in this proverb, compares that to a trustworthy messenger. Epaphroditus was a trustworthy messenger for the Philippian church. He did what he was called upon to do. He faithfully got the message from the Philippian church, brought the provision from the Philippian church to Paul. But I want us to kind of think about ourselves. I remember when I was young, my father would read this passage, and in our family devotional time, he kind of shared. And for some reason, this has always stuck with me. He says, you know, we as Christians, we are messengers for God, right? God calls us his ambassadors to this world so that we can spread the message of this reconciliation about the love of God and the life that we have in him. And if we are faithful messengers, trustworthy messengers of God, then we are going to be like ice-cold drinks to God, and we're going to be able to refresh his heart. And so I want us to think about that. As Epaphroditus was a faithful, trustworthy messenger, we know from Proverbs that a trustworthy messenger refreshes the spirit of the master. It's like an ice-cold drink in a hot weather. And so are we like that to the Lord? You know, because we have the opportunity to be like that. We have the opportunity to bring refreshment to his heart and to his spirit if we can be trustworthy servants. And whatever he's called us to do, whether it's at house church, whether it's here at church, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in your family that you're ministering to, if we can be trustworthy, faithful servants to God, then we will be like ice-cold drink in the harvest time for God's heart. And I want to be like Epaphroditus. You know, I think often we read through scripture and we read the letters of Paul, and we always kind of want to be like Paul. You know, we think Paul was an amazing man, and we kind of look to him as our example. You know, like we want to be like Paul. We want to live, you know, boldly and lead like Paul. But not everyone's called to be a Paul, you know. Not everyone's called to be the leader and the head, the one that preaches and the one, the apostle, you know. Some of us are called to be Epaphroditus, who is faithful in his service to the apostle. He is faithful as a servant, as a messenger. I remember when Pastor Sam Kim, he's our SP Beijing pastor, when he first came to church SP and he gave a sermon, and he gave this illustration. He said, he was telling a story about his good friend Mike, and he was also, they were both missionaries in China for a long time. And Sam got to know Mike because they worked together well. And he could see that Mike was, you know, had a lot of gifts, and he was a real man of God. And good friend and a good missionary, you know, good partner. So Sam Kim, he wanted to kind of encourage Mike. So he goes up to Mike and he says this. He says, Mike, you know, sometimes in life, there are those of us that are the Billy Grahams of ministry. You know, some people are called to be the Billy Grahams, and others are called to be supporters of Billy Graham. You know, others are called to support Billy Graham. So Sam, he wants to encourage Mike, so he says, Mike, I'm so glad that God has brought you into my life, that you have come to support me as I become the next Billy Graham in China. This is a joke. I don't know if you can get this in the morning. I know Bonnie got it. But Sam was basically, he's trying to encourage Mike, and it's a joke. He's trying to say, Mike, you're the Billy Graham. But it turns it around and says, no, actually, I'm the Billy Grahams of the ministry, and you're the one that's to support me. But the point that I'm trying to make is not everyone's called to be like Billy Graham. Some of us are called to be the supporters of Billy Graham. Some of us are called to be the messenger and faithful servant, like Epaphroditus. Timothy, on the other hand, he was called to be the pastor, right? So Timothy, you know, he had to lead a church on his own, and Paul sent him to be the leader. Epaphroditus, we don't really hear too much about him, but we know that he was a faithful messenger and a servant when he, at the time that he was needed. And I just want to encourage us, encourage myself, you know, that we can also be a faithful messenger, a trustworthy messenger, that brings refreshment to the spirit of the one that sends us out. Whether it's our earthly, you know, master, earthly boss, or someone that we're trying to serve, our leader, or it's God that's the one that's sending us out and calling us to, you know, serve him in whatever capacity is given to us. The last thing I want to talk about before we finish is, if you look at it at verse 27, he talks about how Epaphroditus was ill. Paul says, indeed, Epaphroditus, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Here Paul talks about how if Epaphroditus had died, it would have increased the sorrow that was already upon him. He had sorrow because he was in jail. He was in prison. He was restricted in his fellowship with other people and restricted in his freedom. And there was definitely a sorrow that came from that. And he says, if Epaphroditus would have died, there would have been sorrow upon this already sorrow that he had from being in prison. And what I just want to get to is that Paul was real. You know, oftentimes we read about Paul, and he seems like this super Christian. You know, he always talks about rejoicing in the Lord, and he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. And we kind of see a picture of Paul, and we kind of have this picture of Paul in our mind where he was just nothing really got to him. You know, he was able to just charge along and be the man of God, and nothing bothered him, and nothing discouraged him, and nothing could hold him down, and he just trudged along and just worked for the gospel of God, and had joy all the time, and was victorious all the time. And we can see that and be a little bit discouraged. We're like, man, Paul was like ridiculous. He was amazing. I'll never be like him. But what the accurate picture of Paul, if you read through the lines and if you read carefully in his letters, Paul was actually, he really showed his weaknesses. You know, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, I think, he says at one point, he says, we were so discouraged and so hopeless that we even despaired of life. Right? Paul basically is saying that he was depressed at one point. That he was so, like, things were so difficult. Times were so difficult. Circumstance was so difficult that there was no hope. And he even despaired of life. And oftentimes, God has to come to Paul to say, hey, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I am here for you. So just an encouragement to us, because as we live our Christian life, as we try to serve God, as we try to minister to people, we're going to be discouraged. We're going to come upon times where we feel sorrow and we feel like nothing's going well, and those kinds of emotions can kind of overwhelm us and really affect us. And that's okay. You know, even Paul, this great man of God, who really was the apostle to the whole Gentile world and shared the gospel faithfully, and, you know, at the end of his life, he can say, I fought the good fight. You know, he knows that he was confident that he did everything that he had to do. Even he went through times of sorrow, went through times of discouragement. And so that's normal. And when he says, rejoice always, because the Philippian, this letter, he constantly says, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. Even if I'm in a difficult time, I can rejoice in the Lord. We know that that joy is not just this fake kind of, you don't acknowledge your feelings, you don't acknowledge or you're discouraged, you're kind of fake about it. That kind of rejoicing. We know that there is, the joy that Paul is talking about is this deeper joy. You know, deeper joy that goes beyond the sorrow and the discouragement and the difficult situation, the circumstances that he's facing. There's something else deeper inside, maybe a deeper hope in the Lord, you know, a deeper peace that transcends understanding. So Paul can say, even though he talks about this kind of sorrow and this kind of discouragement, he can say, you know, but I can still rejoice in the Lord, and I encourage you to rejoice in the Lord. So, yeah, just for us to just be encouraged, if you're going through a difficult time, a discouraging time, that it's okay, that it's part of this life, but we can experience joy that comes from the Lord that is deeper than, you know, just a shallow kind of happiness kind of thing. So let's just go before the Lord, and let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And Janella is going to lead us in the time of worship. So God, I thank you just for this short little passage on Timothy and Epaphroditus. And we see also the heart of Paul. And I just pray that we would have the heart of Timothy, God, that we would also have genuine concern for the people that we're serving, whether we're serving as house church leaders, whether we're serving as a ministry leaders or welcoming team or whatever else that we're serving in. I pray, God, that we would have this genuine concern, Lord, that we wouldn't look to our own interests, but we would have the interests of Christ Jesus. And help us also to be faithful, trustworthy messengers, God, that we would refresh your heart, God. I pray that we would be like ice-cold drinks to you, because when you give us a task, you know, we just faithfully obey and we faithfully complete the thing you've called us to do. And yeah, come Lord, speak to us today. Thank you, God.
I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I'm more than the air I breathe, I'm more than the song I sing, I'm more than the next heartbeat, I'm more than anything. The Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Yes, God, thank you, Lord. We need you more in our lives, you know, to help us, God, to really be like Timothy and Epaphroditus, Lord. So help us, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go before the Lord and let's lift up our community, especially those that are going through cancer and chemotherapy and other surgery, you know, serious illnesses. You know, let's pray for God's healing. You know, these people on this list, they really need the Lord. They need the power of God. They need the a touch of God. So let's really pray for them. Let's pray for encouragement. Let's pray for faith. Let's pray for strength and healing. So let's pray. Just want to draw your attention to Kathy Lamb's sister. Surgery is July 10th, which is pretty near. So let's pray for a good surgery. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those in our community who are going through cancer or other illnesses, but also need salvation. And if I could ask for, there's a youth group student, her name is Bonnie, whose grandmother just got diagnosed with liver cancer as well. And she's not a believer, the grandma. So if you could pray for her too, please, Bonnie's grandmother. Let's pray for the people on this list. Let's go to our third slide. Pray for our community that's experiencing various infirmities. Let's just pray for healing. Let's pray for encouragement for these guys, and pray for the power of God to work. So let's pray. Let's continue to pray for Pastor Sam's laryngitis as well, that he would be fully healed. So let's pray for that too. Let's pray for our community that's in search of a job. Let's pray for God's provision, and let's pray for favor and God's direction. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for first our mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea and South Korea and Japan. Pray for the missionaries serving in these countries, and for the churches in South Korea and maybe a potential church plant. Let's pray for God's leadership in that. So let's let's pray for our ministries at church, intercessory prayer, and the well, the physical healing ministry, and Cascade, our inner healing ministry. Pray for the leaders and for the team members that there will be anointing and power and refreshment from God, and just in their personal lives, they would have so much joy and favor in everything they do. So let's pray for our teams here. Let's pray for our men and women's ministries. Let's pray for the leaders of the ministries, and let's pray that there will be good fruit that comes out of these ministries. Let's pray for direction and guidance, encouragement from the Lord, good strategy as well to see where we can go with these ministries to bring the church together. So let's pray for this ministry, men and women's ministry. Let's pray for SPLI. Tonight is eschatology. Matthew Pine will be teaching the group. So let's pray for Matthew Pine, for anointing upon him and wisdom and knowledge, and he'll be able to really teach the class well, and pray for the students that they will be receptive and hungry and eager to learn. So let's pray for the class tonight. And let's pray for, lastly, our outreach ministry. There's SP Lights Outreach, and also there is a home visit outreach tonight. We'll be visiting different partitioned homes and visiting our friends and ministering to them. So let's just pray for anointing and really powerful time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. We want to say, God, that we love you, and you are our Lord, our Savior, and our God, and our lover. And I just pray that we would grow in our intimacy with you. Help us, as in this prayer time, to really connect with you, God, and help us to fall deeper in love with you. Help us to be faithful, trustworthy servants, God, to you. That we would bring refreshment to your heart, God, in what we do today. Thank you that you're with us today, and we love you, Lord. Bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray.